main focus with today's liturgy is obviously on the whole concept of being a prophet. Ezekiel is one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. We see his struggle there in the first reading. All the way through the Gospel, Jesus speaks about the prophetic nature of his mission as the Messiah. And so obviously I want to speak about being a prophet, these great prophets in our world. But sometimes I think when we speak of prophets, we think of these people like Ezekiel or St. Paul or Christ and say, well, yeah, they're the prophets. Those are the kind of great leaders of our history and our society. And we fail to recognize that each and every single one of us, as a baptized Christian, is also called to be a prophet. Each one of us, without exception, who is in church today, we are called to be prophets. Sounds like a daunting task, but I hope to show you through my homily today that it's really not that difficult, and yet it is so important and so beautiful. So let me give you my definition of what a prophet is, and I'm sure there are many other definitions. But whenever I look at prophets, I see it seems like there's three things that go on. The first thing is that a prophet is someone who says something unexpected. But then in a secondary moment, after you reflect on what they've said, it kind of makes sense. It's like, wow, I didn't expect to hear that, but now that I think about it, okay, I get that. I get that message. And then when you think about it a little bit more, on a third level, you realize that their message changes you. And it changes you for the better as you dwell on it more and more. And I want to share with you an example of that. There was a man who came into my life about 10 years ago, and he was a little prophet to me. He wasn't someone that I knew well. He was a parishioner at my former parish. He came with his wife and his two boys. He was at Mass every week. And I had just made the transition from being the assistant priest to now becoming a pastor. And it may seem like an easy transition, but it was a very, very difficult transition. And I tell Father Vincent and Father Carlos, I said, enjoy it now, right, while you can. Because all of a sudden when you become pastor, besides all the ministry, now it's like you have to do all these administrative tasks, and you almost become like a business manager or an operator, and it's really not fun, but it's kind of part of the cross. So I tell him to enjoy it while you can. But I was struggling with that transition. And it was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And this man called me up. I was not expecting his call. And he said, Father, you know, I'd like to speak with you. I was like, great, sure. He goes, no, I want to speak with you in person, face to face. I was like, sure, great. You know, come in this afternoon, no problem. But right away, my mind went into kind of pastoral mode. Mostly when people come in and they want to go speak to a priest, sadly, it's because something's happened. So I started to think, oh gosh, I hope he didn't lose his job. I hope his wife isn't sick, or hope they're not going through a divorce. So, you know, your mind just starts running. What would be these possible things? So I was preparing myself to catch him, to kind of catch him in whatever difficulty or problem that he was going through. And I want all of you to know, obviously, as a little parenthesis here, if you ever go through anything in your lives, you know, Carlos, Vincent, myself, We're all here to catch you and help you, whatever problem you may be going through. So I was preparing myself for that. And then on a secondary level, because I had started changing things in the parish, and the other reason why sometimes people want to come in and speak face-to-face with the priest is because they have a complaint that they want to lodge or something. So I'm thinking to myself, uh-oh, I hope he's not coming in to whatever, question me on something or have an issue or whatever it was. But I was ready for that as well. Whatever it is, I talk with him, listen to him. He sits down and he throws me a complete curveball. Complete curveball. He says, Father, I just wanted to come in and say thank you. Thank you for all the ministry you're doing. He says, my two sons, they love coming to church now. It's really wonderful and great. And I just want to affirm you and the good work that you're doing. And I sat there and I said, oh, thank you very much. That's very nice. But You know, they, well, but like, what's your issue? Like, stop buttering me up and just like get to the point. You know, what is it? He goes, no, there's no but. He goes, it's the day before Thanksgiving, and I think I don't thank people enough as I should, so I wanted simply to come in and thank you for that. He got up, shook my hand, and hugged me. Something totally unexpected. And as he walked out, it was a very brief encounter. I remember standing like in the doorway, and he's walking to his car. And on that secondary level, I was like, wow, that really makes sense. That's a really beautiful thing to do. And then I was dwelling on it more and more, and you can tell it really affected me, because 10 years later, I still remember it. It started to change me. And it started me to look at myself and say to myself, am I affirming the people around me enough? And his words and his actions really, I think, affected me for the better, made me a better Christian, a better priest. And I had understood intellectually that affirmation is an important thing in people's lives. And this is really the second part of my homily, the importance of affirmation. I had actually conducted some research on affirmation and how it lowers stress levels and increases satisfaction in people's lives. So I kind of knew about it. And it reminded me as well of these two books that I had read, but I felt like I wasn't really putting into practice. So I'm going to advertise these two books now in the middle part of my homily. This book is one of my favorites. It's called Born Only Once, The Miracle of Affirmation. You don't have to write it down, because I'm going to put it in the bulletin next week. But when I counsel people, this is often one of the books that I recommend. It was written about 40, 50 years ago, but it is brilliant. It is excellent. It helps us to see how people really flourish and grow when they're given that gift of affirmation. And then there's another book that came to my mind, and this is a book that every couple I've prepared for marriage, I've always mentioned this to them. And for those of you who've been married for a long time, I also recommend it. It's called The Five Love Languages, and I'm sure probably some of you here have read it. It sold millions and millions of copies throughout the years. And I'm not going to give you a summary of the books right now, because you all have to do two book reports this summer. No, I decided just one book report. You can choose one or the other, but by August 31st, you have to put a 500-word essay, okay, to me, to your summary of the book. But the first language that they speak of is words of affirmation. The way many of us express our love for other people is by simply saying kind, affirmative things to them. And again, I want you to read the book, so I'm not going to get into it here. But I thought, that's what we're called to be. We're called to be prophets of affirmation, just like Michael was to me. But I want to get into now the third part of my homily. This is the last point. The greatest prophet, I think, of our times, like in the past we had Ezekiel and Christ and all the others. Today, I believe the great prophet of our time is Pope Francis. And think about it. Pope Francis, it seems like almost every week, he winds up saying something where you're like, did he just say that? Right? Something unexpected that he says, and you're like, wow, where did that come from? And then, but when you think about it more, and you try to block out maybe any prejudices in our minds, and just take what he says at its value, you're like, wow, that makes sense. That really does make sense. And then you think about it more and more, and it starts to change you. I know he's changed me. These last 5 years that he's been Pope, I've definitely changed because of his influence. And there's the thing that he did last year that I'm sad that the media didn't pick up on it. But he did something very unexpected last year. I'm sure many of you are familiar with TED Talks. TED, TED Talks. Just raise your hand if you've seen TED Talks, right? I think a lot of us have. If you haven't, they're well worth it. You go on the internet, they take a world-class expert on some theme, an astrophysicist or a doctor or a psychologist or a professor, and they say, you have 17 minutes. Give us your best information. So they asked Pope Francis to do this. I'm going to put it up on our website so you can see Pope Francis give his TED Talk. Powerful, beautiful, transformative words that he uses. But at the end of his talk, he says something even more unexpected. He says, we need to start a revolution. Pope Francis, we need to start a revolution. He says, you know, I look at the world and I see there's so much hatred and violence. There's so much polarization. People don't even speak to each other nicely anymore. All of these things that are happening, divisions, wars, etc., etc. And he says, we need a revolution. And he says, a revolution of tenderness. A revolution of tenderness. Each and every one of us is called to be a revolutionary. And he said, tenderness does not mean weakness. He says, actually, to be tender, you need to be strong. But what tender means is that I go into people's lives and I get to them and I say, I care about you. I love you. I'm concerned about you. Is there anything I can do to help you at this particular moment? And he said, that's what our world needs today. So I think besides being called prophets of affirmation, I think we also need to follow Pope Francis and be revolutionaries of tenderness, people who go out of their way. And so that's the thing I want to encourage all of us to do this week. I want each one of us to think of just one person and basically do what Michael did to me 10 years ago. Pick one person in your sphere and do what I'm about to do. Mary, can you scooch over a little bit? I've been here for a year, and I know you're not expecting this, not at all, but I want to say to you how much you mean to me and what a joy it was preparing you for your marriage this year and getting to know you. I love the fact that you come here every week with Matt, and you guys always here in church, and you always have a smile on your face, and you always greet me so warmly. And it's just been 1 year being together, but I want to let you know from my heart how much it means to me that you're here and you're a parishioner and that you're part of our family. So I just wanted to thank you.